Good morning. Our lesson today, getting saved. Hopefully, this is not going to be stepping all over Dick's lesson, but coinciding and strengthening the things in Bible class. If you haven't been coming to Bible class, if you are not in the habit of coming to Bible class, set your clock an hour earlier. Set your clock just a little bit earlier. Come to Bible class. Share, learn, and fellowship with the Christians during that hour. One of the reasons I wanted, and it goes along great with Dick's class, I just never want too long of time at all to go by without... Dick used the term getting back to basics. I don't want there to be ever too much time go by in the pulpit without the basic knowledge of salvation. Many of us are already baptized believers. And it's not that we don't need to hear this, but we've already heard it. But hopefully, if we're already saved, we can use this information to pass to others, to reinforce our strength. That term back to basics, I'm always reminded of a story. The Green Bay Packers, just a dominant team of the 1960s, my first favorite team. They had won something like 5 NFL championships and the first Super Bowl. First day of practice, the next year, Coach Lombardi had the team take a knee. Here, they were on top of the world. They were kicking everybody around the league. He held up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And he goes on to explain the game from the ground up to men that were going to be all pro, all NFL, you know, Hall of Fame, all of this. But he started from the beginning, of course, and they'd go on to win the next Super Bowl. But he explained the basics to a team that had just won the Super Bowl. I think that relates a lot to us. This lesson is getting saved. We've got a few lessons coming up. Getting saved, staying saved, and saving others. It was talked about today in the Bible class that the first step to being saved is you've got to hear the Word of God. I mean, that's just, nobody has ever been saved without hearing the Word of God first. And hearing the Word of God, it was brought up today in class that you can be deaf and still hear the Word of God. It's the hearing the Word of God is being exposed to the Word of God. You hear from somebody. Those of us that have been baptized and are saved, we've heard it from somebody. There's been somebody or multiple people in our lives that took the time to share it with us. It might have been from a pulpit preacher. It might have been in a Bible class. It might have been sitting across a kitchen table from somebody. Or there might have been multiple people that have contributed and that you've heard the Word of God from. You might have read it yourself. You can hear the Word of God yourself. I'm not saying voices and stuff. There's too many voices in there for me to distinguish. But you can read it yourself. And how many people have read the Bible and those words come alive and they realize they need to be saved? There's many people. There's a lot of conversions in prison. people sitting there 24 hours a day, not a whole heck of a lot to do, and they've got a Bible. One thing that we need to remember, God has never expected anything from people that He hasn't told them about first. He's just. And He's going to reveal to people what He wants from them. Romans 10:17, Paul wrote to the Romans and says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is one of the first things in our path to salvation, is to hear this Word of God. And our scripture reading today that Kurt read is Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. God has used various methods. He's used burning bushes. He's used His prophets. He's used lightning and thunder. He's even used a donkey before. But now, in these last days, in this last time of God's people, Christianity, He's using His Son. The words that He's spoken. And we know in John 12:48, that those words will be the standard by which we are judged by. So it behooves us a lot to listen to those words. Once we have heard the Word of God, once we've been exposed to the Word of God, we have a choice. We can either believe it or not believe it. And that's one of the great things about God. He doesn't make us robots. He's given us free will to accept or reject the Word of God. And once we've heard and been exposed to the Word of God, we have that choice to either believe or not to believe. John 8:24, it is recorded, Jesus says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am Jesus, of course you're Jesus. We've known you. We've walked with you. We know where you live. Not that. Believe that I am He, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. If we don't believe that, there's a lot of people in history, and there's a lot of people in the world right now that believe that Jesus existed. History does not dispute that. There are some people that argued Jesus never did exist. But history accepts Jesus existed. There are people that will even say the religion of Islam believes that Jesus was a teacher. You know, they put him up there, you know, Confucius was a teacher. Pretty good teacher. Had a lot of good sayings. But so does the rappers of the Hall's Cough Drops have some pretty good sayings. Bazooka Joe in the bubble gum has some pretty good sayings. Growing up, after I popped the gum in my mouth, I'd always see what Bazooka Joe said. Had some good sayings. Right up there with Confucius. But more than just that He's a teacher, that I am He. That I am the Savior. I am the Christ, the Messiah, who came to bring salvation. If you don't believe that He is that, you will die in your sins. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's our whole purpose, is to be pleasing to God, to have salvation. And he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We have talked many times before, if people are diligently seeking God, they will find Him. They will find him if they are seeking after him. John 3:16, a cornerstone verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That word is monogenes, the only one of its kind. Not just one of it. I mean, it would have been valuable if God gave one of his sons. He gave the only unique one of its kind, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That belief will lead you to salvation. John 14:1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That he and God are one. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. We have to believe that. John 6:40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's not only a command, but a promise in that one verse. It tells us what to do, but also what will happen if we do it. We see in Acts 4:4, it says, however, many of those who heard the word believed. Here's that choice. Not everybody chose to act upon hearing the word of God. But many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men came to be about 5,000. With this kind of belief, we're not talking a mental acceptance. We're not talking about just an acknowledgement that there is Jesus. It's an obedient belief. A belief that leads you to do something. That belief of these people here in the first century, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. What did they do? They were baptized. They were obedient to the point of being baptized and were added to the church. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Somebody says, I believe in God. Good. The devil believes. What distinguishes you from the devil? Obedience. The devil doesn't obey the word of God. He knows the word of God. The devil uses the word of God, twists and turns it. Tried to get in a game of taking the word out of context with Jesus when he was tempting him. Bad game. Jesus turned it around on him. It's not enough to just believe in your heart that God sent his son Jesus as a sacrifice. We have to tell other people. It's not a secret. We can't keep it a secret. The apostles didn't keep it a secret. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus himself told his followers, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. I want, when I'm standing before God on that great last day, I want Jesus to be telling God he's one of ours. I want that more than anything. And he goes on to say in the very next verse, in verse 33, he says, and whoever doesn't confess me before men, I won't confess him before my Father. It's a done deal. We think that's easy. Ask Peter how easy confessing before men. Peter not only denied knowing him, he did it 3 times in a row. And we not only confess with our mouth that we believe this, we confess it by the way we live. We confess it by what we stand up for. We confess it by what we don't say. We confess it by what we do say. We confess it with our lives. Philippians 2:11, Paul says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue will confess. At one time, all people will know, and they will realize it's better to confess it before it's too late. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, here putting it all together, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it goes on to say in verse 10 that with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It all works together. You're not going to believe unless you've heard. You're not going to act on it if you don't believe. And when you do believe, you're going to confess and tell others and be proud that you're a Christian. Paul told Timothy, he says, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul is acknowledging Timothy has made that confession many times in front of many people. Fight the good fight and make that confession. The Ethiopian eunuch made that confession. As he is studying with Philip, as they're going down the road, he comes to the realization, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip told him, in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. He acknowledged it. He verbalized it. It's that same confession that Peter made in Matthew 16. They were in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, the prophets. And Jesus says in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. On this rock what? On this rock Peter? He's going to build his church on Peter? Not at all. Not at all. That's on the rock of that confession. The rock of that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is built on. That's the rock. Getting saved. Next week we're going to go into the fact that we've got to repent of our sins and be baptized. But you've got to, there's no getting around. No one is saved without hearing the Word of God first. You've got to believe in God and Jesus. And you confess that belief to others. Many of us have done this so far. If you haven't, if you have not in your, as it said in Hebrews, diligently seeking Him, if you're diligently seeking and have not done these things, if you don't believe yet, keep searching. You will. If you believe and haven't confessed, you need to. Next week, we're going to be looking at repentance and baptism. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repentance, if you need prayers of the brothers, we will go to God with and for you on your behalf. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we are fully capable of handling those needs this morning. Whatever your need, please come forward as Josh leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.